Radio Prague News. Negotiating teams from the three parties of the emerging centre-right government are expected to finalise their coalition agreement on Friday. The lower house of parliament on Friday failed to elect a new ombudsman, and a Prague court has sentenced the fugitive Czech financier Viktor Kuzhiny to 10 years in prison in absentia for fraudulent practices. Negotiating teams from the three parties of the emerging centre-right government are expected to finalise their coalition agreement on Friday. The Civic Democratic Party, Topo 9 and Public Affairs will be meeting to debate the formalities of cooperation as the final issue in their coalition agreement after Friday's session of the lower house of parliament. The party teams concluded the last chapter of their programme discussions on Wednesday evening with an agreement on healthcare. Should a final agreement be completed in writing on Friday, members of the Direct Democracy Party Public Affairs are to vote on it via the internet over the weekend. The broader leadership of the Civic Democrats and Topo 9 are to review the coalition agreement on Monday. President Václav Klaus plans to appoint the new government on Tuesday. Parliament deputies on Friday failed to agree on who should be the country's new ombudsman, a post left vacant after the death of Otakar Motejl, who died 2 months ago. He was the country's first ombudsman and served in the post for 10 years. 2 rounds of voting on Friday failed to produce his successor, and the process of finding the right candidate will now go back to square one, with the Senate and President expected to make new nominations. Parliament is bound to repeat the vote within 60 days. A Prague court has sentenced the fugitive Czech businessman Viktor Kuzhiny to 10 years in prison in absentia for fraudulent practices which damaged the Harvard funds company he set up ahead of the post-89 privatization process. Money was siphoned off from the company's accounts and used for dubious investment deals, damaging shareholders in the Czech Republic to the tune of billions of crowns. Mr. Kuzhiny, who has set up a new business in South Africa, was sentenced in absentia. Efforts to get him extradited to the Czech Republic have so far failed. 2 snowy owls stolen from Ostrava Zoo earlier this week have been returned by a man who unwittingly bought them from a dealer. The 45-year-old man said that he had bought the birds in good faith and only later heard of their disappearance from the zoo. A vet identified both birds and pronounced them to be in good shape. Police are still searching for the culprit. Following the incident, the zoo is tightening security and expanding its camera system. Finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The Czech Republic is bracing for another heat wave, with temperatures expected to hit 32 degrees Celsius. Relief should come in the form of heat storms in the late afternoons, though night temperatures should remain high at around 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Coming up on today's show, the agreement between the parties of the emerging coalition will face a final test of direct democracy in a Czech political first. The Czech parliament deals with who to elect to replace the late Otakar Motejl as the country's ombudsman. Later on, we'll have the business news, and after that, today's arts focuses on the 45th Carlo Vivari International Film Festival. I hope you'll stay with us today for all that here on Radio Prague. Assuming all goes well in the last meeting of the emerging coalition on Friday, which involves procedural aspects of cooperation between the Civic Democrats, Topo 9, and the Public Affairs Party, the coalition agreement will be approved by the broader party leaderships, and in one case by unconventional means. In a first for Czech politics, Public Affairs, which promotes itself as the party of direct democracy, will be asking their members to vote on the party's participation in the government online. Earlier today, I spoke with new MP and e-marketing businessman Victor Paggio, who is involved in the party's online referenda.
First of all, I'd like to comment this word unconventional because in Estonia, for example, they vote over the internet for years already. But I agree, it is something new in Czech Republic. We have this voting that starts today and it will end on Sunday evening. And basically, what is this about? The voters, our registered friends on the internet, we call them Bečkaři, and they can log in to our site and they can vote if they want us, the party, Věci veřejné, to join the coalition government. And the voting will end on Sunday evening.
But are your future coalition partners, more traditional partners, not slightly frustrated with you over this method?
They can be frustrated, but this is basically our internal process. And we said this in advance at the first meeting when our boss, Radek Jón, met the other chiefs of the political parties. He told them that we will actually run this decision through the referendum. So it is something that has been agreed before. And actually in the other political parties, let me make an example, ODS, the Civic Democratic Party, there will be about 30 people that will decide whether this party will join the coalition government or not. On our side, this will be thousands of people. So I actually believe that our decision has more legitimacy.
Well, I believe that'll be roughly 17,000 people eligible to vote online. So how many would have to participate and how many would have to be in favor of the agreement in order for it to pass?
If I say, let's say, 20 or 30% of Bečkaři will vote, it will pass because still it's lots of people. It's actually thousands of people.
One journalist was able to register three times on your website and vote three times in one of your referendums. So what does that really say about the process and how secure it is?
Okay. So that was, first of all, about 3 months ago, and the registration process was different. I'd like to say that we actually had the control mechanisms at the time. We were checking the IP addresses, and the journalist, his name was Jiří Stoležal, he managed to vote three times from one computer. But actually, from our point of view, this makes no difference, because in that very voting, there were actually thousands of votes that were delivered. So we consider this as the price for being open. This is the price we have to pay for letting the people decide. Now, in this moment, we have a different system. We actually check the emails of the people. They have to confirm their email. We let the people confirm their cell phone, and we as well send the letter with a confirmation code to their home postal address. So now we somehow tightened the security measures, so this cannot happen anymore.
I have to say it's hard to believe that after so much time and effort spent hammering out this coalition agreement, it's very difficult to believe that if you actually had a negative response from your voters online, that you would actually resign on the emerging coalition.
We would, because we actually we believe in these referendums, and we did this before in other decisions. When our friends on the internet said no to some point or to some idea, we did not put it in our political program. But I actually believe, and this is my personal opinion, that they will agree with the proposed activity of VV in the government, because we had a set of surveys before we started these referendums. You maybe saw them on the internet. We did about 6 or 7 surveys about various chapters of the future agreement, and in average, the Bečkaři, they voted 80% yes, or 85% yes. So I actually believe they will say yes.
I was talking there to new MP from the Public Affairs Party, Victor Paggio. The lower house of parliament failed on Friday to elect the new Czech ombudsman, a successor to the late Otakar Motel, who passed away in May. None of the four candidates, including the strong favourite, former dissident Anna Shabatova, received sufficient support in two rounds of voting. Jan Richter has been following the vote and joins me now in the studio. Jan, why did the vote end inconclusively?
Well, I think Christians, many MPs are asking themselves the same questions right now. It was a bit of a surprise because the ombudsman is an important position in the Czech Republic, but not a key one. The problem here might have been that it was one of the first votes of the new lower house, and the MPs might be somewhat inexperienced. And what happened was that one of the new parties, Public Affairs, refused to take part in the vote because one of the candidates, Iva Brožová, is at the same time the head of the Supreme Court, and Public Affairs MPs consider this to be a conflict of interest. Ms. Brožová did not make it to the second round of voting today in the lower house. She only received 6 votes in the first, but Public Affairs votes were missing anyway in the end. The strongest likely coalition party, the Civic Democrats, favored yet another candidate. So what looked like a done deal in the beginning, that Anna Šabatová would be the next Czech ombudsman, turned out inconclusively. She had the support of Topo 9, the likely opposition Social Democrats, and even the Communists. But in the end, there just weren't enough votes.
Was it a tight call between the nominees?
Not really, because 2 of the 4 nominees, 2 of the 4 candidates, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Iva Brožová, and another dissident and political activist, John Bok, they only got 6 votes in the first round of voting each. In the second round, Anna Šabatová got 84, and the former Civic Democrat deputy, Eva Dundáčková, she got 59. So it wasn't close at all, but not enough votes to get there.
So what comes next in the process of electing a ombudsman?
According to Czech law, candidates for the ombudsman are nominated by the president and by the Senate, 2 each. So these institutions, Mr. Klaus and the Czech Senate, will now have to nominate candidates once again. Within 60 days, then, the lower house should vote on the new ombudsman once again. The president and the Senate can nominate the same candidates, and I think it's likely that Anna Šabatová will be among them once again. And if she indeed is nominated, I think she will again be the strong favorite.
Well, many thanks, Jan, and we'll be keeping an eye on what happens there. To those of you who may just be tuning in, we thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, broadcasting by shortwave, via satellite, and on the internet. I'm Christian Falvey. It's a busy day across the studio table from me here, as Jan Richter is now replaced by Chris Johnstone, who joins me with our business news.
There are signs that lagging consumer confidence is beginning to pick up. Figures for May retail sales released by the Czech Statistical Office show a 3.1% rise compared with a year earlier. That increase was above all fueled by soaring car sales. They climbed 13.3% compared with a year earlier. That is the highest increase for any month since December 2007.
Many eyes this week have been on the Czech Film Showcase event, the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, but the domestic industry is still struggling amid a world downturn for the industry. The Czech film business shrank last year by 16% to 2.95 billion crowns, around $150 million, from 3.5 billion crowns in 2008, according to figures released by the Association of Audiovisual Producers. The drop in turnover affected Czech film productions and advertising commercials. The one bright spot is that foreign filmmaking improved slightly, although it is still at only around a third of the level it was in 2007.
The Czech Republic's financial arbitrator, who deals with payment transaction problems, has enjoyed a brisk start to the year, with more complaints received and settlement proceedings launched. During the first 6 months of the year, the number of complaints climbed 5% to just over 420 compared with the first half of 2009. Of these, 75 settlement proceedings were started, a 27% rise. Most of the complaints concerned bank card payments and interest rate charges.
Czech businesswomen and top managers are not thick on the ground, and women do not appear at all in the new government. But a study of opportunities for working women by the Economist Intelligence Unit suggests that their position might not be as bad as it sometimes seems. The Czech Republic is rated 22nd out of 113 countries for the opportunities and obstacles women encounter, and comes in midway among the European countries surveyed. The country scored well regarding the legal rights and position of women on the jobs market, but it lost marks for unequal pay and workplace discrimination. Top scorers were Nordic and North European countries.
World Cup fever has been a mixed blessing for parts of the Czech economy. Betting companies have enjoyed a boom in business, with more than £1 billion taken in bets on who will get the round ball between the posts. But the successful run of the Dutch to Sunday's final against Spain means many of them have cancelled or postponed their stays at Czech camps and caravan parks. The enthusiastic Dutch campers, frequently travelling in convoys, are often amongst the best clients of such camps and sometimes account for around half of the total business.
Thanks to Chris Johnstone. This is Radio Prague. Now in this week's arts, it's the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, which kicked off in the West Bohemian spa town for the 45th time on July 1st. And while the event itself is reaching middle age, it is still displaying its power to pull in a remarkably young audience, as the turnout in the crowded Hotel Thermal, the heart of the festival where most of the films are shown, testifies. Sarah Barufka was among the guests and reports on the festival's special role.
While it might not be the continent's best-known film showcase, it is the biggest in Central Europe, and many international guests feel that the Karlovy Vary Festival is a very special event. One of them is Marion Doring, who is the president of the festival's East of the West competition section this year.
For me, it's one of the youngest and freshest festivals that I know, especially because there are so many young people. The audience is so young, and you see that they are queuing outside and waiting to be let in. 5 minutes before, all the empty seats are then for them. And you can really feel that they enjoy. It's not like in other festivals where sometimes you have people who all the time go to the festival and are a little bit bored and have seen everything and know everything. Here they are really, this audience is so happy to discover, and this makes a very special atmosphere.
Czech director Bohdan Slama, whose films have won awards at the San Sebastian International Film Festival and the International Film Festival Rotterdam, and who also was invited to attend the legendary Sundance Festival, says he is warming to the festival's human face.
I must say that after I was already visiting festivals all around the world, that I like Karlovy Vary more and more. Because it's such a friendly, this festival. Not only to filmmakers, but to public. And everything, there is such a lot of things which festival do for people which are coming here. It's very open, very friendly, and very, like, welcoming, you know. So I really like it more and more.
Film critic David Darcy says that what he is looking for at the festival are mostly world premieres and hard-to-find Czech movies.
I'm looking for world premieres, for news, for films that haven't been shown at other festivals. So the competition has lots of world premieres, but also Forum of Independence, the Doc competition section, East of the West. Then in Karlovy Vary, remember, this is Czech Republic, and there's a history of cinema here. And no place else, at no other festival, will you find retrospectives of Czech filmmakers, generally speaking.
He says the mix of films and competitions also helps set Karlovy Vary apart from other festivals.
Only recently have other festivals, Cannes now, and Cannes is including some documentaries. Berlin has always included documentaries. There is no documentary prize in Berlin. There's no separate category for documentary competition in Berlin or Cannes or Venice. Now, Karlovy Vary came to this a bit later than Sundance, for example, but it and then Toronto, which has had a doc section for quite some time. But Karlovy Vary was ahead of the other European festivals.
So what role do smaller film festivals like Karlovy Vary serve for European filmmakers and the film industry as such? I put this question to East of the West section jury president Marion Doring, who is the director of the European Film Academy.
A very important role, because many European films are not shown in theaters anymore. So you can say that these festivals are a second, I mean, they have replaced the theaters in many cases. So they are very important for European films. Many of these European films wouldn't have an audience if it would not be at these festivals. So they are very, very important.
There are three competition sections at Carlo Vivare. The main competition, which showcases feature films, the documentary competition, and the East of the West section, which focuses on films from Central and Eastern Europe. Many of the judges are filmmakers like Bohdan Slama, who is a juror on the main competition board. What is it like to be a judge of others' films when you are used to having your own work judged?
So nice, you know, just to sit and criticize, you know, what somebody made of wrong, you know. And much more better is then to see how somebody makes something very good, you know. So you are admiring there is no distance for me, like, to come to cinema and see a film like normal people.
And how do jury members go about assessing the quality of the films in their section? Are there many disagreements? Marion Döring again.
We meet regularly between the screenings. We watch together, and then always when we have seen two or three films, we meet and we evaluate the films that we have seen. But so far, I have to say, we have not very heated debates. We are quite the same, and... And I think we are in a very good atmosphere, and I think we will come to good decisions.
Maybe the most unique section of the competition is East of the West, which offers to see films from such countries as Azerbaijan and Albania. This year, it also features one Czech submission, says Linka Tirpáková, who works for the festival's program department.
This year we have selected from Czech films the film called Dreamers by Jitka Rudolfova. It's really fresh and nice realistic comedy about the generation of 30 years old. And, well, she's a student of Věra Chytilová, so you can feel some connection or some influence of Chytilová. And, well, I think it's really... Yeah, the fresh is the best. Fresh film is the best way how to describe this film, so we are really happy to have it in this competition.
Marion Döring says that she hopes that East of the West will help shape the future of filmmakers from Eastern and Central European countries in a positive way.
Well, I hope that the situation in all these countries is good enough for the directors that they have the chance to make films. We are going through a deep crisis right now in Europe. And you can feel it, especially in the country, in the Western countries. There are less films produced. And I hope that is not the case for Eastern European countries. But maybe the advantage of Eastern European countries is that the directors never had so much money available. And when you are not used to big budgets, then you are often more inventive. And then maybe it's the big chance of these directors from the Eastern European countries to show to the Western European countries' directors what they can achieve with little money.
The winners of all three competition sections will be announced at the closing ceremony, which takes place on July 10th. And after, Carlo Vivare will go back to being just a spa town until the festival kicks off again for the 46th time next year.
That was Sarah Borufka ending this week's Arts and our English broadcast for today. Don't forget, this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we're always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, and all of us here at Radio Prague, we thank you for listening and we wish you the best.